Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, eyes that are open, ears that can hear the truth that Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to this earth to make a way of salvation for sinful men and women, boys and girls. We thank you that you've put this message in our hearts, or at least many of us here. We pray that that would be all of us. Help us to celebrate your resurrection and your coming again, Lord. Help us to celebrate that, to honor that with lives of humility, humbled before you, bowed before you, lives that are taught by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. And we pray you would do that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever forgiven someone seven times in one day? You know, when the subject of forgiveness comes up with Jesus, he throws the math on him. What number does he use when the subject of forgiveness comes up with Jesus? 7 and 77 and multiplication. I know that'll make, you know, start talking, throwing all these math terms out here, make some of you almost probably sick. But he does that for a purpose. Because they come to him and he said that you know, if someone sins, then rebuke them. And if they repent, even if it's seven times in a day, you forgive them. Now that's God's approach. You know what our approach is? I'll think about it. But a lot of times, you know what our number is? It's not seven, is it? That's exactly right. Zero. See, if we took the seven, let's just play with the math for a little bit. The seven times one day, there was seven, so in a week, that'd be 49. In a month, that'd be, it's on your sheet, by the way, too, so you can act real smart, just whip these numbers off. Be 210 times. Forgive somebody 210 times in a month. How many times in a year? 2,555 times. Now, what is Christ, what is he trying to do? He's trying to push us past the human boundaries of our mind. See, we say, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God, his ways, his thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts, as the heavens are above the earth. And yet we want to take a lot of God's teachings and we want to bring them down to the earth. And forgiveness is one of them. And I'm not really surprised, because in years and years, and when the subject of forgiveness comes up, we, even as believers in Jesus Christ, too often dig our heels in. I could never forgive that person. Zero. Nope, zero. I couldn't, I won't, I refuse. And really, that's what it is refusing, because... See, Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he wrote to the Colossians. He wrote to the Ephesians, he said, be kind to one another, you're familiar with this, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. See, we're told to forgive as God forgives. We're not told to take God's teaching and bring it down to human level. But that's what we do. And so we don't have the same forgiveness, do we? And you know what else? We don't understand the path of God at all. We don't understand the greatness of God at all. You know what we mostly don't understand, even for our own selves? We don't understand forgiveness. We can't receive God's forgiveness as we should be able to, because we won't accept his terms. He wrote to the Colossians. He said, put on then as God's chosen ones, that's us, that's those who believe in Christ, received him as Savior and Lord, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you. See, we are not to forgive as we see fit. We are not to forgive per our human standards. If Easter is about anything, at least really high on the list, shouldn't it be sin and forgiveness of sins? Isn't that why the Son of God came to earth? We had this desperate need. We weren't just sick with sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, his unique one-of-a-kind Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth as a little infant, very fragile in our minds, but God in his sovereignty, in his providence, he carried through his plan. He lived on this earth for 30 years. And I was thinking about that. 30 years is not a long time, but it is kind of a long time. You can really get to know a place if you live there for 30 years, can't you? He lived on this earth for 30 years. He got to know the place. And he knew what he was in for. And we looked Friday, his prayer, Lord, is there another way? But if not your will, not my will, your will, not my will, be done. And he accepted this death sentence that was what we were deserving. And he was in that tomb for 3 days. And he rose again. And that's what we're celebrating today. Why don't we get that? Why does the Church of Jesus Christ do forgiveness so poorly? If you turn in your Bibles to Luke 17, verse 1. Luke 17, verse 1. I had mentioned to them in our Good Friday service, you know, sometimes we're in a series, and when we're in a series, I always know what's next. And when a holiday comes, I can, as the kids would say, sometimes maybe freak out a little bit. What am I going to, you know, do you go to the typical passages? Nothing wrong with that. I just want to go have the, where, God, where would you want me to be on this? This year was different. I had three coming up. I had Palm Sunday, I had Good Friday service, and I had this service this morning. And I was had been reading in Luke, and God just said, here, here, and here. And this is the third here. It's not a typical Easter message, but it's where the Lord led me for this morning. And verse 1 of Luke 17, and he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, if you think it's the right thing to do, go ahead and forgive him, Jesus said. Jesus said there, he said, if you can find it in your heart, he said, go ahead and forgive him. Is that what he says here? No. He says, if he... it turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. When we refuse to forgive, we are disobeying God. We need to understand that. We are opposing, we are rebelling against our God, and we are missing out on so much of the blessing of God. We are saved by grace. God's unmerited favor all the way through the process. If we are walking in disobedience to God, we are going to struggle more than we ever should, because we just don't understand the allowance that God gives us, his generosity, his mercy, his kindness. And we're going along and we say, oh, how did I do this again? I don't deserve this. And it's right, you haven't deserved anything from the start. But you've put your faith in God Almighty, and that God said, by grace you are saved. He will carry it out to the very end. Now that will happen if you're authentic in your confession to him. That will happen, but what might not happen is walking in his abundance. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And here's the part we miss. Because we take different places, and forgiveness is one of them. And I'll be bewildered till the end of my days. If I drop dead tomorrow or if I live 20 more years, I will be bewildered and confused at Christians' refusal to forgive as God forgives. We've had discussion here over the last several weeks, and you'll hear this discussion, I would say, probably in every church across this country, maybe across the world. Losing members, not just young people, losing members, period. Well, how do we get people in? And we've had, well, how do we get people in, and how do you get young people in? And, you know, there's not a section in the Bible that says, do this and you'll add members to your church. Now, you guys know that. There's that section's not in the Bible. But you know what the Bible says a lot about? Sin and forgiveness. See, the reason this text stood out to me, and actually it was a misunderstanding of mine of why God used that, though, to direct me to that. It says, if back in verse 2, it would verse 1, temptations to sin, and that word is scandalon. Scandals are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him or her if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. And that's just where kind of the thought that occurred to me, possibly for this Easter message, this Resurrection Day message. But actually, little ones there means all the believers. It's similar to the Apostle John's term in 1 John chapter 2, where he says little children. So it doesn't actually, if you were under the same misconception I was, that this means only children here, but it's what I thought because we talk about so much that, you know, the young people. See, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you to sing songs out of the hymnal and have a piano and organ. Now, I like it that we really do that, and that's a good thing, but it doesn't tell us that in the Bible, does it? It doesn't say then, well, you'll get the young people in if you ditch the piano and the organ and the hymnal and have drums and electric guitars, and I really like drums and electric guitars. But it doesn't say if you get those in, then the people... See, the Bible doesn't talk about things like that. You know what the Bible talks about? Well, sin and forgiveness. It talks about being who we should be. Doing what we should do. Do you really think that God's message is so weak and impotent that the structure is what matters? Do we really think that? Do we really think that if the Spirit of God isn't moving, I mean, even in a small group like ours, that that'll sweep across people's hearts? It's not the form. It's not the layout. It's not this. People come in and see the Holy Spirit of God moving in people's lives. People come in, instead of seeing us as proud little religious peacocks, seeing us as humble servants of the Almighty. That is a powerful message. That will draw people. People that are just looking for the format, they're looking for the message to be held in a certain way, to be shared in a certain way or a certain time, or the music format, or we don't want to hold hymnals, we want words up on the screen, and all. Nothing wrong with words on the screen. There's nothing wrong with the hymnal. There's nothing wrong with drums and electric guitars. God's blessing on all of those things. That's never the problem. Here's the problem. Our hearts, our unrepentant hearts. And we see first here, see, this we're told, so if we want things, we say, because we have like in the end of Acts, and we're not going to go there. I was tempted to kind of go there because it did talk about the things that they were doing. That they were the apostles teaching, communion, breaking bread, prayer, those things. And the Lord did add to their number. But he didn't say, do these things and I'll add. They did it, and then God chose to add. He calls us to do what we should do, to be who we should be. And then let God decide what he's going to do with that. But regardless of whether he adds anyone or takes anyone away, we know that we have honored him. That has to mean more to us than it seems that it does. There is a great joy and a thrill to honor him, and he knows better than we do the challenge that we're up against in standing against the darkness of this world and the temptations, the snare of busyness and riches. God knows that challenge better than we do. And he is so pleased when he sees his people bowed before him. And one of the huge, huge areas is the area of forgiveness. But he says in these verses, and he uses hyperbole, better for that person, well, maybe not hyperbole even, it would be the millstone and drown than be the person that brings, that scandalizes this fellowship, that brings these temptations to sin into this fellowship. That's how important these things are with God. Worthy servants pay attention to sin in the fellowship. Verse 3, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, see, this isn't just about forgiveness. This is paying attention to sin in the fellowship. Do you know who the best people in the world are to rebuke me for my sin? Do you know who those are? Yes, you do. Yeah. That's what it should be. That it's this refining, this tempering. It's this place where we watch out for each other. We're concerned for the righteousness of God. Not the self-righteousness of humans, but the righteousness of God. That environment that we have where we have that freedom, and it, because we know each other's lives, and we should be concerned that much about each other. That rebuking ministry. And God using that. And then if that person repents, then we forgive. And if they sin again, and if they repent again, we forgive again. And God says seven, Jesus throws the number seven out, and the number 77 out, and he throws this out because he wants us to push us past our thoughts of forgiveness. And we are so resistant. We are so resistant. But look out for the fellowship that embraces God's thoughts, God's method of dealing with sin and repentance and forgiveness. Well, he pretty much overwhelmed his disciples with this. And maybe I overwhelmed you a little bit. I don't really know, but in verse 5, the apostles, you can almost hear it, said to the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, we're not getting it, help! Can you see that in there? It's like, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And then we'll have people going off, and they'll be trying to throw mulberry trees in the sea. You know what I mean? It's like, whoosh, missed that one, didn't they? What's Jesus telling them? You don't have to have great faith. Jesus is just saying, believe me. Try it. Just trust me. This is my way. Ditch your way, repent, try my way, the path of righteousness. Because folks, everybody's got their stories, and all their hypocrite stories in the world aren't going to do them any good when they're before the Lord. Because they're going to be pointing the finger, I knew this blankety blank hypocrite, and that one, and that one. It's not going to do you any good. All it's doing is allowing your mind to rationalize your own rebellion and your own sinfulness apart from God. But we give them plenty of ammunition. There's a story, I don't have the book anymore, and I would have gone back in so I could describe it more accurately, but I'll get it pretty close. The new couple, they're going to the church, and they're in the church basement, and they're having a carry-in, and the lady brought a dish, and boy, they're happy to be part of this new church, and she's looking around, and she doesn't see her dish. Now, ladies, this means something. If you got your dish there, you know this means something. She looks around. She doesn't see her dish. So she goes into the kitchen. What's she do? She sees one of these church people scraping that gal's dish, scraping the food in the garbage. You know why? We don't bring food to our carry-ins in dishes like these. Ron Bricker was telling me a church he went to. He said this guy came and he was a rounder. You know, God likes rounders. He picked a whole creep, picked 12 of them. Paul was more refined, but man, Christ had his hands full with Peter, James, John, sons of thunder. But this guy came, Ron knew him. He was a rounder, beard, you know, looked like he probably had a motorcycle. You know, people with motorcycles, boy, yeah. And he's sitting there, this dear saint of the Lord sitting behind him, pecked him on the shoulder and said, you chew tobacco. I know you chew tobacco, and we don't like people that chew tobacco in our church. Now, we're doing math today, so I'll bet you can guess how many times that man came back to that church. Anybody want to guess? Want to try for zero? Is that the stuff that God wants happening in our... And we say, oh, well, that wouldn't be in our church. Don't fool yourself. We're very frail. We're still sinful. God's working in us and through us. But could we not worry so much about the songs we're singing and worry more about the condition of our hearts? The disciples are overwhelmed. Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, just need a little bit. He said, just believe. Is the teaching of forgiveness, it's not some big complicated doctrine, is it? It's really, boy, we could pray. There's other things that they're a whole lot harder to explain. Now, accept, that maybe is different. That's our problem. But to explain, no. We say, well, people coming, well, what is attracting them? And there truly is something about God moving in our lives is attractive for those who will be called and chosen. For some people, it's not going to matter what we do, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent inside this building or as we go out into our worlds, into the community and that. But to some, it will matter. And what matters before us is everything honoring before God. Well, the Lord finishes this in verses 7 through 10. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? You also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Now, what's the point of those verses? We know that God honors those because Christ said the Father will honor those who serve him. That's not the point here. The point here is, well, first we had worthy servants pay attention to sin in the fellowship. Secondly, worthy servants serve the Lord by faith. And then this, worthy servants serve in humility. You know what a worthy servant, you know what this text here is? It says, we just go out and do what we're supposed to do. And we don't have to have somebody patting us on the back. He said, go do what we're supposed to do. Now, again, there are other places, a different point of emphasis where we are to thank people and that. But the point here is, don't do it because somebody's going to look, so you'll be noticed. Don't do it because, well, I've got to do it, and then they're going to see what a good person I am. Go do it because, yes, God says to go do it. And God, they sing, he just says, go out and just walk in humility. Do the things that we're supposed to do. I'm not saying that we should never strategize and programs and outreach and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. So don't draw that from earlier comments. What I am saying is none of that matters if we're not letting God speak to our hearts. He has shown thee, O man, what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. And that's what God wants. And see, that is an attraction. People will see. See, we won't just be talking about heaven then. We won't be just talking about God is sovereign Lord and the goodness of God. People will see that in our lives. We will be different. That's what holiness is different. We will be otherworldly because we're not grabbing and fighting for everything and contending against people for this world. Now, see, that person's got something different. That person has hope and peace and joy that the world can't give. This is the hope that the cross of Calvary gives us, the hope that the resurrection gives us. We truly have victory over everything. We truly have victory through the cross of Jesus Christ. What I'm speaking of here this morning, let's listen to the words of God. Let's listen specifically to his teaching on forgiveness and live in that victory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of truth. I pray that you have spoken to us through your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.